continue on in our study here in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 26 is where we are. Proverbs chapter 26, going through these Proverbs of Solomon. And we're in a section now that were copied out by Hezekiah's men. That started in chapter 25. And again, good words to his children. Solomon writing to his children. The Lord giving this word to us as his children. And we can certainly take it that way and apply it and consider it that way. In Proverbs chapter 26, we'll read here at the beginning of the chapter and come on down to the verse where we left off last time. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As a bird by the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse or the vilification or the infamy shall not come. It just won't be by itself. We are known and have our reputations. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. And then here in verses 4 and 5, you just can't win with a fool. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Just a difficult thing. In verse number 6, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. That's a terrible state to be, a situation to be found in, isn't it? The legs of the lame are not equal. They are damaged, and that's the reason that they're lame. They're not equal unto legs in the way that they should be. Well, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. It just doesn't work. There won't be any instruction that can be gained by it. There won't be any help, and there won't be any power to back it up, because reputation carries weight to what we say. If we're found as hypocrites, who will believe what we say? If we're found as living up to what we preach, then there's maybe power in that. Verse 8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Tie that stone in that sling and it won't come out. What kind of sense does that make? Verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of the drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. It just does not get it, no effect. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. The Lord is good to allow the rain on the just and unjust, didn't he? I mean, so many things. He gives life. He gives the air. He gives the earth and the blessing of life unto all. Verse number 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And he's just prone to it. Dogs are prone to that. Fools are prone to that. May we be warned. Verse number 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He's beyond the fool in the position that the fool has taken. Verse number 13, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets, coming up with a reason to not do what needs to be done. As the door turneth upon his hinges, I wonder about that, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Are those creaky hinges? I'm interested to know about that. I told you about Sister Chrissy and her experience in the food pantry, how people get food from the food pantry that needs to be prepared, needs to be roasted or baked or cooked on the stove or whatever, and they bring it back. Oh, it's terrible. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth, even to feed himself. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He stands as the prince of wisdom in his own mind. He knows the reason why he shouldn't be working. Verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I love that verse. That verse has always made me smile, and we need to be warned, if it's not yours, don't get in the middle of it. Just leave it alone. You'll have a dog by the ears, and that's a bad combination. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, well, I was just joking. Well, we need to be careful about how we joke and how we kid. And hard, sharp words they do hurt. And we need to be careful about that. He uses his hard, sharp words and then says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. We need to be careful. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Well, duh. Well, some people need to be told that, don't they? Don't have any wood, don't do any work, don't gain any what's needed for life. You're going to go without. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth. There's no talebearer, not one to go around and meddle in business, tattle, telling things that shouldn't be telling, all that kind of stuff. There's no strife. Strife ceaseth when they are not present. As coals are to burning coals, right? If you got burning coals, you got coals. As wood and wood to fire, right? To have fire, you've got to have fuel. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. He cannot help himself. If he is contentious within issue of the heart, he's going to stir up strife. He's going to be looking to push somebody's button. And then in verse number 22, that's where we're picking up tonight, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. We looked about those, considered about those sharp words up above. Are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And this word talebearer is talking about a slanderer or a whisperer. One that whispers. We need to be careful about why we whisper. Why are we whispering? Some people, they pursue those kind of things. They'll look to whisper in this one while looking over there. Right? And they're thinking, why are they pointing at me? Right? You don't need to do that. Don't need to be good. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Verse 23. Listen to this. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. What I think about this is, you know, the red or orange clay pots that the ladies will plant flowers in, and all of us have seen one of those broken, okay? And you've got a shard of that, a piece of that, and then it's been laying around there, it's there, and then the one that's refining that silver, it's not good for anything else, takes that, I mean, it's refractory, it can handle the heat of that melted silver, and then takes that and skims off that dross off of that silver, and what have you got? You've got a shard of pottery that's just plumb nasty. It's nasty. Burning lips and a wicked heart are nasty like that. There's no appeal to that. It's necessary for the one that's refining the silver, but that shard of pottery covered now with that silver dross that has been drawn off or scraped off the top of that molten silver, that's the same way that burning lips and a wicked heart is. It's just gross. It's just nasty. Remember what James says. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. There's not any, to my recollection of the scripture, and I may not be recalling something, but there's nothing else in the scripture that's referred to in being in connection with a reference to the fire of hell. I don't think of anything else that, you know, there is hell and the lake of fire that the Lord has prepared for the wicked and for those that are without Christ. But here, the apostle is writing and telling that's how dangerous the tongue is. When it's not ruled, when it's not controlled, it can do a bunch of damage. It can pile up a bunch of iniquity unto the Lord. And we need to be careful We need to be careful how we use our tongues. You think of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, they're early on. And those first four that are there, the Lord says, don't take my name in vain. And how does the Lord consider the tongue that takes His name in vain? The Lord says He won't hold that one guiltless. He will not hold them guiltless that take His name in vain, that saith His name idly. And here, man, made in the image and likeness of God, and just being like a grasshopper unto God, being blessed with a mouth to praise and sing and worship and to bless the Almighty. But we can take that mouth, take that tongue, and we can use it against the Lord and bring much shame to ourselves and disgrace to His name. Burning lips, a tongue that is on set on fire of hell. Wow, boy, that's something, isn't it? In this thinking of dross, and we've looked at a few scriptures. Let me give you something, a couple scriptures here. Psalms 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. There's a reference. The Lord's going to put them away. There's going to be corralled in one day. In Proverbs 25, there just across the page or so, verse number 4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The dross is just, it's the leftovers, it's the nothing. And so for the lips and a heart to be compared to dross, I mean, it's like the lowest of the low. The Lord told Israel in Ezekiel 22, verses 18 through 20. Listen to what He says here. Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. It's useless. It's the leftover. Pardon me. It's a reference in kind. What do you do with dross? There's nothing left to do with dross but just throw it away. What do you do with salt that's not salty anymore? All it's good is for road pack. That's it. For road pack. It doesn't do anything else. He said they are all they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron, lead and tin, into the midst of the furnace, to blow fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. It's done. There's no future in it. There's no future for dross. May we not be found party to that. May the wicked turn, the wicked heart turn from its way. Verse number 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. Verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. He that hateth. That word hateth, it's synonymous with being an enemy, okay? One that is at enmity, okay? Enemy, foe, hateful, odious, and such. This word dissembleth is talking about, has many usages, but I think the appropriate usage here is to estrange. He that hateth, okay, estrangeth with the lips. Not kind, not courteous, not friendly, but with the mouth. He that hateth with the mouth estrangeth, putteth away with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. He that hateth, okay, he that hateth, dissembleth, pushes away, estranges with the lips, also layeth up deceit or deception within him. When we encounter someone like that, remember this is Solomon speaking to his children, when he speaketh fair, when we find someone that is of a hateful heart, hateful spirit, hateful way, we need to beware. We need to look out. We need, when we find somebody, we need to be warned in ourselves that we not be this way, but that we run into somebody that it operates this way. If someone runs another down to you, okay, we deal in things of truth sometimes, and we have to say what is at hand. But if someone, you run into someone that runs another down for the sake of lifting themselves up, what will they say about us when we're not in their presence? Okay? We don't need to be that way. And then when someone is that way, we need to do what? When he speaketh fair, verse 26, believe him not. Why? Because they've hated. They've estranged. Because there's hatred in the heart, they've estranged with the lips. They are deceitful. When they speak fair, might be warned to believe it, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Again, this is all about being one person. One person. One honest, upright, full of the fruit of the Spirit, person unto all. To behave ourselves and to operate, not act, okay, not putting on a show, but to change our behavior that it be like Christ. And I'm talking to the children of the Lord, okay? I'm talking to we as children, that our behavior be like that, our speech be like that of the Lord. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Verse number 26, whose hatred, okay, he that hateth, dissembleth, and layeth up, okay? So that's in verse 24. There's a warning about that. Listen to this. Whose hatred is covered by deceit. Kind of like that one that we saw earlier, maybe they're joking and jesting, a madman in verse number 18, who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? There might be just a jokester at hand, but there might be somebody that's really mean and cruel. And again, we don't need to be that way, and then we need to be warned. Verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit. When maybe they would be challenged, say, oh, no, I didn't say that, or I don't feel that way about them. Well, you said you did. No, I didn't mean it that way. Have you ever heard that? You know, we are to be mean what you say and say what you mean, and be careful what you say in the first place. That's the way the children of God are to be. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Well, it may not happen with the law of the land. It may not happen even before the church, if it would be something that would be involved with the church. But in that latter day, in that last day, it will be shown, won't it? Everything in secret will be heralded on the housetop. Everything that's been covered up is going to be shown forth and made open. And may we all be warned. In Matthew 15:11, the Lord says this, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. What comes out of the mouth. Not what we eat, but what we say. What we say. It shows forth our heart. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, the Lord Jesus says, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. May the Lord help us to be warned. The warning here about the tongue in there. In Ephesians 4:29, the apostle writes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How can our communication be corrupt? Well, the easy one's the spotter to be one that would curse, or to use slang, or to take the Lord's name in vain, or to be a liar, that would be corrupt, or just to be vulgar and foul, or to be found deceitful and not honest, or one that would be a talebearer. We don't need to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that what should proceed of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Listen to this, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A right word spoken at the right time, oh, that's a blessing, isn't it? We've seen that. Apples of gold and pictures of silver, isn't it? Verse 27, listen to this. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. When you work, be careful, right? I mean, it's just a plain kind of thing. There is danger in working. There is. There's risk in working, so to speak. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. If it's bigger than you, make sure you got some help. Make sure you got some equipment. Just basic things. But sometimes we're prone, and in youth, we'll do it. We'll jump into things that we haven't thought out. Have you ever got into something and started doing something and said, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? Kind of like the guy, have you heard the account of the guy lifting up the bricks into the second or third floor, right? I forget exactly how that goes. Maybe he thinks he's got the load of bricks and he needs to get them up, so he goes up on the other floor and gets on a hold of the rope and then gets it up there, but he can't get them off, and now if he lets go of them, they'll come back down and hit him or something like that. Got to think before you jump. Got to think before you do. Well, listen to this. This can be so, verse 27, in our work. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Be careful. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Or this can also be the case in treachery, also, can it? And we've seen, and certainly, we're not superstitious. We're to not be superstitious. Don't be superstitious. It's not of the Lord to be superstitious. But all things that men do will be recompensed unto them. And so we say, well, what goes around comes around. Well, I guess in the end, that can be the case. Because the Lord will reckon it right. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, young people, be warned. What you do in your youth, it will be reckoned before the Lord. Solomon speaks about that in Ecclesiastes. Do what you see and do what's right. But remember, what you do is going to be reckoned by the Lord. All of us, it's a case for all of us, isn't it? Verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. When I think of this verse, read this verse, I think about it, the tongue is kind of a whip. Have you ever heard, well, I got a real tongue lashing the other day? Have you heard that expression? I wonder how many of these expressions come from the Scripture. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. The affliction of the tongue. It's like the tongue comes out of our mouth and it's like a whip. That's no good, is it? A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Of course, this is a lying tongue. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Thank the Lord for His blessings upon you. If the Lord has given us something in any way, whether it's a thing, whether it's a talent, whether it's a blessing, a gift, an ability, whatever it is, relationships, may we not let flattery be our ruin. You know, the world works that way. This fella up here that speaketh fair. We've seen about others that would speak well to gain an advantage because all they want to do is use the person. They've got something that they want to get out of them. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. There is honor that the Lord gives and blessing and the way He lifts us up. It's kind of like the example of Daniel. Was Daniel faithful? He's faithful in every way. It's why everything, there's not a thing There's not a thing negative that I recall about in the scripture that's said about Daniel. Joseph is another one. There's not a thing that, to the negative that's said about Joseph in the scripture. And they were praised and they were blessed in their day by those that they were in servitude to. They were servants. But they were lifted up and magnified in their office and their station. And do you get from those brethren that it went to their head? That they knew, from what we get from the scriptures, they knew they were men before the Lord. And they just did before Him what they had to do, praying for the Lord's help and blessing. And the Lord did so. And they gave honor and praise and glory to the Lord along the way, didn't they? See, flattery, if they were praised, it wasn't their ruin. We need to be careful. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if the Lord blesses us, it's because He's blessed us. Not because of our ability, not because of what we're able to do. But if we're able to do a thing, or accomplish a thing, or pursue a thing, or have whatever it is that we're increased or blessed or whatever, it's because of the Lord. It's what He's done. And we need to beware. We need to beware. We're all subject to it because of this old man and this flesh. In chapter 27, we'll go and on to here we see, again, this is seemingly another continuation of words that Hezekiah's men copied out. I believe that that's the case. And in verse number 1 of chapter 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. You think about tragedy or calamity in your life. You think about life-changing, if you will, or great events. You know, we wake up one morning and then by the time that we lay down that night, things are so very, very different. It happens, doesn't it? It happens in this life. Here, the Solomon is, and the Lord is speaking to us about bragging. We have plans, don't we? And good stewardship is to plan. We should plan. We should plan and pursue. But we need to understand that we don't accomplish anything that we plan and purpose to do, again, without the help and blessing of the Lord. He knows when He's going to call us home, and He knows what He's working in our lives, and He's not trying to do anything. He's doing it. And we always need to know that the Lord is in control. And we need to purpose. We need to ask for the Lord's blessing. That's important. We plan. We pray the Lord will bless it. Have you ever planned or pursued or purposed anything? And I've had this in my life. I've said, "Well, Lord, seems like that this is what I should do." That's where I have peace about that. Father, if I'm not seeing it right, or I should do something different, I pray You intervene. See, we've even maybe made the decision, okay, which we have to make decisions, because life isn't just going to fall into our lap, is it? And so we purpose and we pursue, we investigate, we pray, we decide, and then ask the Lord yet to help and work in it. And not boast. "Well, tomorrow I'm going to go do this. And I'm looking forward to getting that done, that being over, and I know I can do it." Well, not if the Lord doesn't help and go ahead of us. Boast not thyself. And that's the key, is bragging about what we're going to do. Bragging. It's one thing to plan, and it's one thing to state what our purpose is. We always need to have an attitude and a way and a speech such that we know that the Lord is in control, that we need the Lord's touch. In Deuteronomy, and Brother Mark has referenced this passage, and some of the other brethren, I believe, maybe have too, in Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18. and say, this is a warning, this is Moses preaching to Israel, and thou say in thine heart, the Lord's blessings have been rehearsed before them, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. No. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So it is, the Lord did with Israel, so it is with us. It's the Lord that gives us strength. He gives us strength, He gives us opportunity, He gives us presence of mind. Do you make your brain work when you get up in the morning? I mean, does that cup of coffee really get the job done? Or that soda? It's the Lord. Say for the help and blessing of the Lord, I got to wake up tomorrow without any sense at all, less than I have now. Right? So it's the Lord. He does all that. And we need to know that and acknowledge that before Him. And James, you know this passage. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say. And I wonder if Brother James wasn't thinking about this proverb. Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. He says, don't boast and brag about it. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth away. Not here for long. Like steam coming off the kettle, so are our lives. He says, for you that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. That was those that he was writing to presently, and were subject to it. They were rejoicing in what they bragged about. And I think that that's the key. No. He says, all such rejoicing, that boasting, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. They're putting on the brag about what we're going to accomplish and what we're going to do. We're going to go over here, we're going to buy this equipment, we're going to do this thing, we're going to get this job over here, and everything. Everybody will just flock to us, and we'll do this kind of work, and we'll just make a mint. Not if the Lord helps you. Because tomorrow, the Lord can allow their plant to burn down. Or he can cause or allow your equipment to fall off of a truck somewhere. Sister Patty says, oh, I hope not a son of us. But, right? I mean, things can change in a moment. No, don't brag and boast about what we can do. All such rejoicing in our boasting and our plan is evil. Now, did I say don't make plans? No. Did I say don't purpose to pursue and do what is before us to do? No. But honor and acknowledge the Lord in every whit of it. Seek the Lord's face in each and every decision. Know that we walk and we operate before the Lord and always yield it to the Lord's will, work, and way. I think we should ask specific, but always yield to what the Lord would do. Because if the way I'm going is not right or good, does the Lord have something worse for me? No, He's always got something better, hasn't He? It's always better. It's always better. Therefore, in verse 17 of James 4, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we're warned again about bragging and boasting about what we will do. And may we have this attitude. One brother that I know says this, if the Lord will that we live and carry out our plans, we will do thus and so. If the Lord will that we live and carry out our plans, we will do thus and so. And in that, our hearts need to be right before the Lord. I don't think that we necessarily have to voice it necessarily to one another. I'm not saying that that's bad. It's not bad at all. But our hearts before the Lord need to be, He's in control, we're dependent on Him, and we want His touch and help upon our lives. May the Lord help us in that. and watch that boasting. We can't make ourselves taller. We can't change the color of our hair. Right? Isn't that what the Lord says? And He says, if you can't do these things that are least, then why you fret about the stuff of life? That's the context there. All right, we're going to close here for tonight. And glad that you're here and glad that you came. And pray the Lord will bless and help. We're coming up on the end of Proverbs here, and it won't be long before we get this finished up. And be praying, if you will, about what we should pursue next. If you're here without Jesus Christ as Savior, you need Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. He says He didn't come the first time to be judge. He came to be Savior. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, a deliverer, a redeemer, one that would deliver them from their enemies that were at hand, the Roman government in the day of our Lord. And He didn't come to do that, did He? But in John chapter 5, He makes very clear that one day He will come back as judge. The Lord Jesus is the judge, so that all men might honor Him like they honor the Father. That's what the Lord says in John 5. So I find it very interesting. The Savior, who came meek and lowly, is the judge. So there won't be another agent or another one that sinners without Christ will stand before and give account, and that judge reference how they denied the Savior. But the answer will be for those that stand before the judge is, you denied and refused me. See that? There won't be anything lost in the translation, because there's two or three or four parties involved. It'll all be reckoned before the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. He's trustable. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can and will save. Repent, believe. Seek your own way. Be afraid. Look to the world. Wait for something to happen. All that stuff leads to death. But there's life in Christ, and we point you to Him.